I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in.
My origin story, for example, was one of extreme lack and scarcity. I was not raised with a lot of money. I came from very kind of small town, blue collar beginnings. I saw my parents, they didn't have college educations. They struggled. Just getting by, quote unquote, and having a paycheck every week was living the dream for them. So I didn't even know it was possible for me to actually have anything more than that. But I wanted more than that. So badly did I want more than that.
For more than 15 years, Julie Solomon has been empowering lives, including her own. Julie has launched several successful online coaching programs and services, including Pitch It Perfect, the Influencer Academy, Shine Mastermind, and Empower You Membership. She helps women turn messages into movements and empowers entrepreneurs to grow their influence and impact through her work. In her weekly top-charting podcast, The Influencer Podcast, she offers up real-time coaching, straight talk, and conversations about business growth and development to her millions of listeners worldwide. From the start as a publicist representing some of the top music acts through the leaders of our generation, Julie has grown to teach tens of thousands of students worldwide. Her new book, Get What You Want, How to Go From Unseen to Unstoppable, is an actionable guide to go after what you want and make your dreams a reality. Let's welcome Julie to the show.
Julie, I'm so excited to have you. We have been friends for so long, and you just launched your new book, Get What You Want, How to Go From Unseen to Unstoppable. I'm so excited for you. You're in LA for your book tour. It's like, I have the chills. I remember that first tour, and I'm just so excited for you.
Thank you for having me. I mean, I remember, Kelly, your first book and having you on my podcast, The Influencer Podcast. And just that's really how we initially connected. And I remember how, as you know, with books, like it can be a racket. Like it's fun and amazing and exhausting and exciting. It's like all the feelings at once. So I think it's fun that we're kind of back here now.
I know. Just a little flip-flop. The tables have turned and here we are. I'm excited to interview you today. But so for everyone who hasn't been introduced to you and your brand yet, can you take me back to
when you started business coaching and where that passion came from?
Yeah. So it really kind of started, I'll take you a couple of years farther back to that, and you'll get this story just kind of being where we are when I moved to LA. At the time, I had moved from Nashville, Tennessee with my husband is an actor, so he was out here. And I really needed to figure out a way to connect with the community and to make friends. I had been a publicist by trade for years. That's what I went to college for. I lived in New York and had done music PR and book PR, but that landscape was changing. And so I found myself in LA in 2014. And I did what every girl does when she moves to LA, and I started a blog as a way to meet friends and to connect with the industry. And what was really interesting about that time, and you probably remember this, is that LA was, and I really think it still is, it's like the top 1% of the top 1% for influencers. I mean, some of the biggest influencers, whether it is fashion, beauty, lifestyle, wealth, wellness, they are health and wellness. They are either living in LA, are started in LA, there's some kind of component to that. And so it was a really magical time to kind of dive into that world. And when I wasn't working for PR for clients or monetizing my blog, I was out networking, meeting other lifestyle bloggers at lunches at the trendiest restaurants and attending like the latest influencer events. And back then, I think the name of the game was really more affiliate marketing. That's the way that bloggers would monetize their content. And for those that don't know, a content creator, I think, is anyone who's using the digital landscape to create content. And ideally, you want to be able to monetize slash get paid for that content so you're not working for free. And affiliate marketing allowed people to do that. And so I kind of fell into that rat race of affiliate marketing. But I kind of noticed as the months passed that the harder that I worked to try to create a name for myself, the more pressure that I felt to try to keep up. And so I would find myself into this comparison trap. I started to spend a lot of money to like buy these clothes to then sell them, got myself in a lot of debt, lied to my husband about it. He found out. And so it was kind of this like, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing moment? And the other thing that was kind of happening at that time for me that ended up being, I think, a little bit serendipitous and coincidental, which leads me to answering your question about coaching, is that I was working really hard to try to make money with affiliate sales, but I would get very little in the return. So I would wear a cute top and I would post about it and I would say, you know, like to know it or whatever I would say, you know, buy this top. And I would maybe make like $60 on the top. But the other revenue stream that I had came from brand deals that I would pitch myself. And for those that don't know, a brand deal is just essentially, it's a paid partnership between a content creator and companies. And it's a big way for creators to monetize the content that they create. And brand deals for me, because of my background as a publicist, came a lot easier because I just knew how to pitch myself. They were far more lucrative for me and they took a fraction of the time to do it. And so around the same time, my blogger friends who were also working 60-hour weeks confessed to me that, hey, Julie, I also rely heavily on affiliate marketing and I'm getting a terrible return. And I think that's when I started to notice that a lot of us had become so spellbound by this glossy glamour of this new, brand new influencer industry that a lot of us had lost sight of the fact that what we were supposed to be doing was actually building a business and creating an impact and being of service. And I think also because of that comparison trap that we can get into with social media, the other challenge was that a lot of the brands lacked originality because they just kind of kept copying each other. So everybody's Instagram looked the same. It all felt the same. They were just trying to kind of keep up with their peers. And the other big challenge that people had is that they didn't have the tools or know-how to successfully pitch themselves. And so that's when I kind of realized that my many years as a publicist, along with my trial and error and rock bottom moment as a blogger, could really kind of come together for me to be of service to this community. And my years as a publicist and being able to do that successfully helped me kind of perfect the art of pitching. So brand deals came very naturally to me. Learning how to monetize in that way came naturally to me. Learning how to negotiate. So that's when I kind of gave myself permission to quit traditional PR, to quit trying to be like everybody else, to quit trying to put myself in this box, and I pivoted my business and I started coaching. And so that was around probably about 2016 at the time. And so that's really how I kind of got my start. I started to coach other coaches, entrepreneurs, content creators. Some people are like, I'm not an influencer, or I'm not a content creator. But if you're creating content on social media with the hopes to maybe get paid for it, I consider you a content creator. So it was those types of women that were coming to me to really help them monetize this brand that they were building online. And then from there, I created courses and just started to really coach in one-to-one ways, group coaching, course coaching. And that's really how it evolved into my business that I have today.
Wow. So in working with these women, I would assume it's mostly women, but yeah. Women and men who want to be content creators and like build a personal brand or a business online, when you're coming in to work with them, are you kind of like the doctor identifying the problem, or are you helping them strategize from the ground up?
Yeah. So where I really love to hone in is, first, I believe that influence is all of our superpowers, whether we realize it or not. And so I love to really hone in on what is that unique part of you? What is that unique influence that you have? And the way that I usually do it is I start to say, well, what lights you up? What do you love to spend time on? What can you happily and easily do? And what is that that someone would happily and easily pay you for? So what is that unique thing that you have that brings you joy? I'm not going to say that it's perfect and you love every waking moment of this, but what is this deep-rooted purpose that you have? I think that what I love to help my clients on is the difference between purpose and passion. A lot of women come to me and they're like, Julie, I'm so passionate about this. I'm so passionate about that. And that could be the case, but they start to think that every passion that they have is a purpose. Whereas the way that I teach it, it's that your purpose is your why. And that is the steadfast foundation. Like that's what you build the house on. That is never going to leave you. It's never going to change. Your passions are the what's. So those are all the things that you could love to do that activate and bring that purpose to life. Your purpose is your why, your passions are your what's. So we first have to get clear on, well, what is your purpose? What is your why? A simple question that I love to ask my clients is, why do you want to pick up this phone and post today? Why do you want to share a message today? Why do you want to share a piece of content today? And then we just keep peeling back the layers. Why? Until we get to that root. So for a lot of people I see, purpose can be freedom. It can be, that's a big one, but then you have to get clear on, well, what does freedom mean to you? Freedom is a very ethereal, general kind of statement. So you have to get clear on freedom. I think that it's all relative. Freedom to one person could be like, I want to be able to take my family on vacation and not nickel and dime the experience. Freedom to somebody else could be, I want to drive a Range Rover. Freedom to somebody else could be, I want to go to TJ Maxx and buy clothes off of the full priced rack instead of the half price rack. Freedom to somebody else could be, I want a beach house. It could not be material at all for some people. And so it's about really getting clear on what is that why? Another one for people is connection. So like, why is connection so important to you? If that helps your community to start kind of thinking about this. And then we go into all the what's. So these are the things that we do. So for example, we'll use me. So my passions are speaking, writing, coaching, teaching, podcasting. The reason why I think it's so important to find the distinction between these two is that once you're clear on your passions and clear on your why, you start to give yourself the permission to pivot and grow and change your passions as you grow and change. And I think that's what holds people back. They're like, well, I can't change my job, or I can't change the direction that I've been going because I've spent years, time, money, energy, and resources doing this thing. And so I don't want to give it up. But if I'm really honest with myself, I'm burnt out. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I've hit my limit. That's a passion. So your passion should grow and change. 15 years ago, my passion was publicity. I'm still, the deeper meaning behind why I love to do publicity is still there, the freedom that it gave me, the creativity that it gave me, but the way in which I do that now has completely changed. And so that's where I really love to start with my clients, to get clear on those two distinctions. And then once we're clear on that, we can start taking the next steps to really get clear on what's your offer. Who are you offering it to? Like, let's get really clear on your prospect. And then what kind of messaging or marketing or content do you need to create to make sure that your ideal prospect can hear what it is that you're offering them, can see the value, and then say yes to you?
Oh, that makes so much sense to me, because it's, I mean, my purpose is to help people be well, right? And then all the what's were like one-on-one coaching, going in, cleaning out pantries, working with their chefs or their stylists, like trying their trainers, like working with them directly. And then it was moving into coaching, group coaching, and then courses, and now products and podcasting. And I remember, but when I very first started, I have a yoga certification and a personal training certification. I would train someone, work out with them, take them to Whole Foods, shop with them, take their groceries home, help them unpack their groceries, teach them to cook something, make a smoothie, make an egg scramble, like just the ground turkey. Like if they've never been in the kitchen, like how do you like grass-fed burgers? Like how do you help them like with the easy stuff? So my business has changed drastically. Like I learned very quickly that I am so passionate about yoga, but making it my job takes that love away from me. Like it's really fun in the moment, but if I'm only coaching or teaching yoga and not practicing, like that's sad for me. Like I want to be on my mat. I want to be moving.
Oh, I love that you said that. Because I think that too, you could have a purpose that has, or a passion that has nothing to do with your, like for your purpose. For example, I love to bake gluten-free cupcakes with my son, but that does not mean that I'm going to go open a bakery tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nor do I want it to be contingent on some kind of monetization. It's just something that I love to do with him. And that reminds me of like the yoga. It's like, you love to do that, but when you tried to kind of fit it into this work model, it actually took away a bit of that alignment and energy and essence that you had with it.
Yeah, it was honestly like the surge of energy and openness and creativity that it gave me on my mat made the other aspects of my business better. It wasn't that I was supposed to be like coaching someone or doing one-on-one training in yoga or teaching the sculpt classes I was teaching back in 2014. So, I mean, it's interesting just kind of how everything evolves. I even looking at my business, like the number one driver of my income has changed every single year for a decade. And that's, I mean, it's just, I think, a product of having being an entrepreneur and having your own business and having different opportunities and getting excited about something different. But let's kind of change course here and talk a little bit about your book. Cause I think there are probably a lot of people who, like you said, maybe they're feeling passionate about creating content online, or they have this deep why, this purpose that they want to start fulfilling. And it may not have anything to do with their current job right now. Your new book, Get What You Want, How to Go From Unseen to Unstoppable. I think that's probably the scariest thing for people is the unseen part. They jump online, they have their friends following them. They don't know how to reach other people. They're following the algorithm. They're doing the voiceover reels. They're hashtagging everything. Like, it's frustrating. I've seen so many people give up. Where do we start? Let's go through the arc of your book. You talk about origin stories and making a plan. Where would someone like this start?
Yeah, so we could start with origin story, because I think that a lot of the reasons why we approach passions, dreams, goals, social media the way that we do is because we're trying to fill a void of something. And that's okay. We're all human. But we have to be clear on what that is first. So for a lot of women, it's worthiness, acceptance, being seen and heard, authenticity, longing for that so much. But if we're not really clear on what's holding us back from that, we're not going to be able to step into it. And so I have an entire chapter and really section on origin stories. And as I mentioned before, one of my kind of rock bottom moments was when my husband found out that I was hiding over $30,000 of credit card debt from him. And I had to really come to terms with, why am I so afraid to be honest? Like, why am I so afraid? My delusion and my denial and my justification of, I would just tell myself, it's fine, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll get some brand deal and pay it off and he'll never know. Like, I was very delusional in that. But at the time, it made sense. And my intention and my heart was in the right place. I wanted to live out my dreams and my goals so badly. But because I didn't realize where that drive was coming from, which was this desperate need to be accepted and to feel worthy and to feel enough, it put me into this perpetual state of dysfunction and chaos. And it wasn't until I could get clear on that. And so in the book, I talk about your origin stories. We all have one. They are really the stories that
come from our origin, typically our childhood, that really shape the way that we view and see the world today. And so for my origin story, for example, was one of extreme lack and scarcity. I was not raised with a lot of money. I came from very kind of small town, blue collar beginnings. I saw my parents, that they didn't have college educations. They struggled. Just getting by, quote unquote, and having a paycheck every week was living the dream for them. So I didn't even know it was possible for me to actually have anything more than that. But I wanted more than that. So badly did I want more than that. And so I would have these big dreams and desires, but then my actions were never backing it up because I didn't feel worthy of having those things in the first place. And so it would thread through my life, through people pleasing, my perfectionism issues, my control issues, my complete lack of boundaries and codependency issues. I mean, whether it was business or in my relationships with men, the types of men that I would date because I would want to save them and fix them, it all stemmed from this root feeling of just needing to be worthy. And it wasn't until I realized that the more that I sit around and put my worthiness on everyone else, it's like my self-love and acceptance was contingent on somebody else saying, okay, Julie, you're worthy, you're enough. And it wasn't until I became aware of that, that I was then able to go to accept the reality of the situation and then to take really healthy action to get myself out of that. And so that's where the origin stories come from and why I think they're so important. I think a lot of us will spend our entire lives not ever looking at those. And it's like, we keep trying so hard and it's like the intention and the heart and the desire is there, but we're not seeing how we're holding ourselves back. And it's usually from these origin stories. So for women, a lot, some typical origin stories that I see are similar to mine. I have to put other people's needs before myself. It's selfish to take care of myself. I have to suffer to succeed. There's not enough. I should just be content and happy with what I have. It's a very limiting way of seeing the world. I'm not enough. I'll never be enough. I'm not worthy. Who am I to do this anyways? Fear of failure, fear of being seen. That's the other thing, especially on social media, that I'll see a lot of my clients, they're like, I'm doing this, and I can't grow. And it's like, yeah, but you're still hiding yourself. Like, you can't hide yourself and expect to be seen. You haven't allowed yourself to really crack open because you haven't really done the inner work. And that's really, I think, the first step is doing the inner work. And that's why a lot of my work with my clients, it's like, I always say to people, you sell them on what they want, but then you give them what they need. And you probably see that, Kelly. It's like, yeah, I'm going to help you lose weight. Okay, whatever. But what you actually need is a complete rehaul and like change in your relationship with food and wellness. But yeah, I'm going to help you lose weight because that's what people think that they need, but you really know there's so much beneath all of that, that they need in order to have this be something that actually transforms their life for forever. And so that's why I really start working on the inner work. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to help you make money, but I'm actually just going to completely help you like retrain and rewire your brain so you feel worthy enough of the abundance in the first place. And so that's the origin story. And that's where I really think people need to start. And then once you can get clear on that, and I have a chapter 2 in the book where I talk about the 3 A's that I mentioned earlier, awareness, acceptance, and action. And these are 3 tools. I call them my 3 tools to freedom. They're something that when I really learned these, I went to a 12-step program after I found myself in debt and learned about the 3 A's and adapted and adopted them into my life. You can start to use the 3 A's with any challenge that you see in life. So the first one's awareness. And that is just when you choose to become aware that a challenge or dysfunction exists in your life. It's not going away. It keeps coming up in shapes and sizes and people and places. And it's now your job to face that, to really become aware of the reality of the situation. Once you can become aware, then you have to go to acceptance. And acceptance is often the most uncomfortable place to be because that's when we have to come to terms that, oh, like this problem and dysfunction to some degree begins and ends with me. There may be external factors out there at place, but I have to start to accept my part to play in this situation. I have to start to accept my part to play in the fact that no matter what I do, I keep spending money faster than I make it. Or I have to start to accept the fact that no matter what I do, I can't lose the weight. Or I have to start to accept the fact that, you know, and I say no matter what I do, because again, we know that it's choices. So the acceptance allows you to start to thaw out. I think that without acceptance, we're really frozen. We feel hopeless and helpless and powerless, and like we don't have a choice in our lives. But once we start to accept reality on reality's terms is when we can start to thaw out and really see what's available to us. And I think that's, it can be incredibly uncomfortable because we have to take accountability for the results and really what we're seeing in our lives. But the beauty of it is that we start to empower ourselves to be like, okay, this is the reality of the situation, whether I like it or not. Now, what am I going to do about it? And that's the third tool, which is action. And that's when we can start to really restore and replace in our lives what used to be dysfunctional or chaotic, the good stuff that we want. So that's where abundance and health and joy and serenity and balance and all of these things that we're craving and that we say we want, that's when we actually start taking really concerted and intentional action towards getting those things. And so I love the three A's because it allows us to kind of calm ourselves down. I think that whenever we're trying to change something in our lives or start a business or whatever it may be for someone, if you're not doing it in a way that really focuses you in and calms you down, I think that you're doing it wrong. Because if you're overwhelmed and you feel restless and chaotic, you're not going to get the results that you want. It's just your energy is not going to be matching what it is that you want. So the three A's will allow you to just become more embodied and more present in your center, allow you to really feel your feelings, notice them. You don't have to attach them to anything or like dress rehearse chaos with it, but it just allows you just to know, okay, like these are the facts and these are the feelings around those facts right now. And then you can really start to focus in.
That's great.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Element, my favorite electrolyte drink. Element was developed by my friend Rob Wolf after he realized that a large group of people were probably living with electrolyte deficiencies and/or imbalances. Electrolyte deficiency can be the cause of headaches, cramps, fatigue, and weakness. And with the surge of low-carb, paleo, keto, and whole food diets, the body excretes more electrolytes at an increased rate, increasing the chances that you may have an electrolyte deficiency and need to supplement. Since the majority of sodium in our diet comes from processed foods, cleaning up your diet, fasting, or an increase in workouts where you sweat a lot can all cause this imbalance. The first time I drank Element, I felt immediately more alert and hydrated, literally like within minutes of drinking Element, and I've been drinking it ever since. They supported my hydration through my pregnancy with Toshin, and they completely rocked my milk supply. Meaning, yeah, I'm like, there's milk everywhere. I had always salted my food, but in hindsight, I know I had an electrolyte imbalance. If you're listening and you think, this could be me too, Rob is hooking my listeners up with a free sample pack. All you have to do is pay for shipping. And if you're in the United States, that means it's only $5. You can head to drinkelement.com/Kelly to snag the deal. That's drinkelement.com/Kelly to snag that free sample pack. All you have to do is pay for shipping, and it's totally worth it. Go snag it. So we just got Sebastian a new set of sheets from Cozy Earth. He is now in a big boy bed, and Cozy Earth has been on Oprah's favorite list for the last 4 years, so I decided to give it a try. And I have to admit, Cozy Earth is softer than cotton, and what I love about it is it's made from a soft and sustainable viscose from bamboo fabrics. So they develop and craft these high-quality goods with responsible and sustainably sourced materials from the earth, and they allow you to create a really calming organic vibe with all the colors that they have, like white, light gray, driftwood, charcoal, and oat. And they have a 10-year warranty on all their products. And what's really interesting is that the sustainable viscose from bamboo fabrics is temperature regulating, which means it'll keep you cool and comfortable all night long. And being that we're in a house without air conditioning, that has actually been really beneficial. And they have this awesome 100-night sleep test where you can try their sheets for 100 nights. And if you don't love them, you can send them back for a full refund. And they have a 10-year warranty. So win, win, win. And they're giving you guys a major deal for sponsoring today's podcast. So they have an exclusive offer for our listeners today, 35% off site-wide when you use the code BeWell. I have Bashy sheets and I'm going to go use my own code to buy some more sets for our room for our new house. So check them out.
So looking at your story, when you've racked up $30,000 in debt, can we talk about that rock bottom of that origin story and how you climbed out with the three A's?
Yeah. So, you know, my husband called me out of the blue. I start the book with the story and he's just like, when were you going to tell me about the credit card? And in that moment, I was just like, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? Because I'm a fixer and I can fix anything. But now I'm stuck with this reality of like, I don't think I'm going to be able to fix this. And so it was a really hard moment, of course, crying. I didn't know what to do. And luckily he didn't leave me. And he was just, I don't know what's going on with you, but I'm going to take the savings out of like our son's college fund to cover this. So it doesn't screw our debt, like our credit over, but like, you have to pay us back. You have to figure this out. And so he gave me the tough love, but also the space that was needed for me to figure it out. So the first thing that I did was I started to do my inner work. I started to read books. I started to go to therapy. I started with a life coach and really tried to figure out like, what is the root cause of this? Why do I spend money that I don't have? Why do I spend money faster than I can make it? I was someone who always did well. Like I could make money, but I would spend it faster than I could make it. And so I had to get really clear on that. So the first thing was the inner work and really peeling those layers back. And then it was using the three A's. I started to become aware of what are my challenges when it comes to money and finances and understanding that. And can I accept where I am today? And then the action for me was like, okay, now I need support. I need coaches. I need experts. I need trusted resources that can come in and strengthen my challenges. I believe that with any weakness, the flip side is always the opportunity to build a strength. And so I started to figure out what those were. I wouldn't be able to do that if I wasn't aware of the reality of the situation. But once I was able to do that and really accept my part to play in it, I was able to take this action. So I started to listen to podcasts, read books, go to conferences, workshops, bring in financial advisors that could really help me map out a budget and a plan that not only in the short term helped me, but really long term set me up on what do you want your life to be like? How much does your lifestyle cost? Like, how much do you need to make to support that lifestyle? What do you want things to look like when you're 60 years old? You know, just thinking about things that I had never really, to be honest, I would be scared to think about that. I just always would put my head in the sand. And so for me, it was that key of the inner work first, and then surrounding myself with coaches and trusted experts that could really support me and help me on my path with my goals. I think another thing for me, which was really important, and it's one of the big reasons why I do this now for clients, is that I think it's not only great to find and align with a coach that you can bounce ideas off of and that can support you, but if they also have some kind of group or community forum of other like-minded women who are also on a similar path that you can learn and grow from, to me, that was the golden ticket. It was mixing my inner work with a coach or a trusted expert that had a community base that I could tap into. And that's when I really started to find other women out there who had similar goals and dreams and were thinking on this higher level of not just surviving, but like, how do we thrive and how do we leave a legacy and how do we create an impact? And so having that a group and a community, I think, was essential as well.
Definitely. What group were you a part of and what are you doing now to pay it forward in your community?
Yeah. So I did therapy, which was one-on-one. And then I did a 12-step group, which I'm still a part of, called Al-Anon, which was amazing. Al-Anon is a self-care program for people that have been affected by alcoholism. So maybe it's a loved one or someone in your life. And I started to go there just because there were also things in my origin story that surrounded with that. And I had therapists tell me like throughout my life when I would go to see therapists, like, you should go to Al-Anon. And I'm like, but I'm not the one with the problem. And it's like, well, okay. And so Al-Anon really helped me restore a lot of self-worth, helped me start to think and feel in a different way with that inner work. And then when it came to my business, I started to join masterminds. So the first mastermind I ever joined, and for anyone who doesn't know what a mastermind is, it can be a lot of different things in different industries. But in my industry, which is the online coaching industry, it's led by one person. So at the time, it was this woman named Melissa. And there was a group of 12 women. And we all came with a common goal. Like, we wanted to be able to grow our online business. And Melissa had some strategies and systems that lended to that. And so there were 12 of us. We came together for a year. We were our own incubation of sorts. And that really helped propel not just my business, but my confidence, and to be able to see other people doing what it is that I wanted to do. I also believe that for anyone listening, if you don't know what kind of group or coach to align with, you want to actually work with someone who has done what it is that you're trying to do. Not just someone that talks about it or like learned about it in a book, but someone who has actually done what it is that you're trying to do. If I want to, I don't know, start speaking on stages and I want to find a coach for that, I'm going to go and align with a coach who has actually spoken on the kinds of stages that I want to speak on. So I think that's really important as well. So that's really what I did. And that helped me. I learned how to scale from Melissa in the online space at the time. This was 2017. And it helped propel my business. I also started the podcast, which was a huge awareness driver for me, just the amount of ears that listen to podcasts. So that was a huge one. And then I think that it was that mix of the inner work that I kept doing, the mastermind groups that I would be a part of, meetups, conferences, anything that I could do to kind of soak in. And then you kind of take what you like and leave the rest and really start to formulate, you know, your own path. And I tell people that a lot about emulating, being inspired, using people as expanders. You obviously, it's not about copying someone else, but it's okay to copy the way that they think, the way that they behave. If I'm wanting to live a healthier life, I want to copy the way that Kelly thinks, because clearly she knows how to think. She knows the right kind of mindset when it comes to not just losing weight, but actually creating an entire lifestyle that is going to leave a legacy in my life. It's going to be with me until the time that I take my last breath. And it's going to allow me to have a longevity to health that I wouldn't have. So it's not just about learning Kelly's recipes, but it's like, what is the behavior and what are the thought problems and are the thought patterns and what kind of belief do I need to have in order to actually sustain this? And so that's really what I think is the key there with that component and the steps needed for growth.
That's great. So when you look at, I mean, it sounds like to me, and maybe I'm just assuming, but it sounds like you had an attachment to like maybe more materialistic things and what you thought the internet wanted to see from you to fulfill your life. And what you've sort of really attached yourself to now is like self-help and personal growth and building a business and community and relationships. Can we talk about that transition and what your relationship is with fashion and pretty expensive things now versus like, I mean, I think we can look at anyone's pocketbook and kind of see where their values lie based on like where they start to spend their money and how that changes over time. Can we talk about your growth process there?
Yeah. You know, I think because I didn't have a lot growing up, I always wanted a lot, you know, and so still to this day, I mean, I like material things and I'll be the first person to admit that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And again, it's relative. I mean, what may be, I have friends that are going to spend, you know, a lot of money on handbags. It's like, I could really care less about a handbag, but give me a nice pair of shoes all day long, you know? So it just kind of depends on the person. I think the first step is really getting clear with yourself, letting yourself off the hook, not shaming yourself for maybe if there's these material things that you love in life, but then also kind of asking yourself, well, why is this so important to me? What kind of value system am I attaching to this? Because I also know that I can get all the material stuff, but if I'm still having some kind of lack energy within me, it's not going to make me feel better. That really has to come from within. And so that's really how it's changed first, is that I used to ask myself, I want to buy this new top or this new lipstick. And I'm like, okay, and then how do I hope it's going to make me feel? Because then that's really going to allow me to get to the root of like, what am I really looking for right now? There's an acronym that I love to use that kind of goes with this. And it's not attached to material as much as it's attached to kind of still wanting to feel the accolades or kind of that dopamine hit that materials also give us. And that's why am I talking? It's wait, W-A-I-T, why am I talking? I feel like a lot of times people, you know, it's like, do I feel like I want to say something right now because it's thoughtful, it's inspiring, it's kind, it's impactful, or am I trying to get attention? I'm feeling a void right now. I don't feel seen or heard. So I feel like I need to say something. I don't like silence. And so I need to like fill the room with noise. To me, like that's kind of what I was doing with material things as well. And so it was becoming aware of what attachment was I putting on the materials. And then the tactics of things, once I did the inner work to that, it was, well, what kind of lifestyle do you want to live? And again, that's all relative to people, but you have to get clear on if you're a family or a person that travel means a lot to you, and then how do you like to travel and how much does that cost? And like really putting a budget in place to what is it that you want in life? And for me, when I started to get really clear on the numbers, I realized it's not about having a $500 top as much as it's about maybe having a cute top from Zara, but then taking that extra money and putting it towards like a travel experience, because that matters more to me. So I think it was getting clear on the tactics of the materials that also allowed me to not shame myself, but then also have more of a realistic approach to how I was, my relationship with the materials, if that kind of answers your question.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, I don't think that there's any reason to shame people for where they want to spend their money. I mean, I can say I don't really care about clothes, and you'll see me in the same outfit like for a month or two. Whenever I get it, I wear the heck out of it. And then you're like, she's in that blue and white dress again. But I care very deeply about material things that are related to health. Like I want the Vitamix. I want the infrared sauna. Like I am saving right now. Well, I'm paying house bills right now because we're trying to get into our house. But things I care about for that is like an RO, like a reverse osmosis, like whole system. Like I want one upstairs in my bathroom. So we fill up waters for the kids and I know that it's clean water. Like we all have the things that we are so attached to and care about because they make us feel like calm, or they're creating an environment that like makes us feel relaxed or at ease or whatever it is. So yeah, I think getting clear on that is important, and budgeting around it is equally as important.
Need to supercharge your hiring? You need a super hiring partner. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data USA. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy, because it takes 10 minutes or less for most SMB employers to post a job, according to Indeed data. Indeed does the hard work for you. That instant match shows you candidates whose resumes fit your description immediately after you post, so you can hire faster. Now start hiring today with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Kelly. This offer is good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/Kelly. Indeed.com/Kelly. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
So in your process of kind of realizing what was maybe more important, maybe the travel, but having the cute Zara top that like you could post while you're in Europe or wherever you are, sounds great. How do you keep a budget today, and how are you staying on track?
Yeah. So I have, for on my business side of things, I have a financial manager who handles all of the finances, and we do a monthly call every single month to talk about profit and loss, the balance sheet, forecasting. Are we on budget? Are we meeting goals? We do goals called good, better, and best. So we have best goals, better goals, and good goals, and seeing how we're hitting those. You mentioned something before too about how diversified your revenue streams are, and kind of the things that you may be focusing on could change year after year. I think that is something that's very common in entrepreneurship. We are constantly evolving, constantly testing, and constantly changing. So it's my job to be really keenly aware of what is it that my ideal customer wants from me. can I realistically be a service provider for that? And if I can, what kind of products or processes or offers or systems do I need to create or put in place to be of service to that? And then that's when I go back to my financial manager, Andrew, and we talk about that. And I'm like, okay, I think we're going to launch this thing. And then he's like, all right, how much is this going to cost? Let's map it out. What's the marketing? What's the operations and systems that we're going to need to cover? What's the sales look like? And so that's kind of how it works in that way. And then personally with my husband and I, we do a check-in. I mean, just the other day, he was like, hey, school's about to start. Let's chat about finances. And we're doing some renovations on a house. And so I tend to be the one that maps out the spreadsheet of those things, which sometimes it's like, why is this my job? But someone's got to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the more organized one. So that happens with me, but I keep a spreadsheet and I'm like, hey, we still owe X amount for, you know, the porch renovation, school starting in a few weeks. That's what that's going to look like. And I think that just those check-ins with each other is super important. I mean, for us personally, my husband has his own business. And so he has his own bank accounts. I have my own. We do have a joint family one. But a lot of times, because he's an actor, so he's also a creative and entrepreneur, we don't really know like financially what's going on. I'm not all up in his bank accounts and he's not all up in mine. And so we have to check that. Certain other partners or families out there may have a completely different situation. But for us, it is important to kind of tap in and check in on those things. And then we start talking about, you know, I want to take my son to Europe next year. So I'm starting to save for that and starting to map out a budget. Where do we want to stay? How much does that cost? Just really simple questions that in the past, I never would ask myself. I never even thought to ask myself. So for me, it's really, again, it's about how can I make this as simple and just black and white as possible.
Yeah. Financial freedom or having a plan there can allow you to open up space to be creative, to think about your business, to think about what you call amplifying the possibilities and stopping the limiting beliefs, because you aren't in a place of like lack or fear around finances, but really in a strategic place where you can think big and have freedom in your business. You talk about having boundaries and having freedom. So I would like to, and also amplifying the possibilities for your business by stopping those stories and self-limiting beliefs. So can we talk about your three tools for freedom and how the other side of the coin of that is having boundaries and sticking to them?
Yeah. And so with the three tools, the awareness, acceptance, and action, you have to start implementing boundaries. If you don't, again, you're just going to kind of be like overextending, oversharing, overspending, overeating, like whatever that is for somebody. And so you really do have to put those structures in place. This is where I think a big key to amplifying possibilities is that you have to start getting keenly aware of what your excuses are about things and your ability to overcome that, or your ability to really not only get what you want, but truly want what you want has to be greater than any excuse that you could have for it. So it's, how important is it for you to start eating healthier, to alkaline your diet more? Like, you're probably going to have to get up a little bit early in the morning, especially if you have kids, to make something or prep something that's going to lend to that. So are you going to still sleep in? And is that going to be your excuse? Or are you going to finally allow yourself to see a new possibility and a new change and have that drive be greater than any excuse that you could have for it? And so I think that boundaries give you that freedom. Boundaries allow you to be able to say yes and no very clearly, to be able to say, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. That could just be like a simple boundary for someone. I'm going to put the kids to bed and then I'm going straight to bed because I know that I need at least 8 hours of sleep. And if I don't get that, then I'm not going to be able to be productive tomorrow. And so knowing yourself and then being able to kind of reframe the boundaries around that, I think is huge. The same thing goes with the finances. You know, it's, if I know that I want to be able to have a little bit more space here and be able to breathe in this arena and not just automatically immediately put money back in, I actually want to net some and take some home, then what kind of boundaries or structures do I need to put in place for that? I think that really focusing on too is for on the business side of things that can help with boundaries is more about like your demand margin, because that tends to change. And so like, what is the demand for the products and services that you're offering? Has it changed? And do you need to be able to quickly pivot with that? And then what does that look like? And then do you have the structures, the boundaries put in place for you, not only emotionally, but tactically and strategically to be able to successfully do that? So you're not just completely exhausted and strapped and depleted if and when those times come, because they always come. That's just part of the cycle of entrepreneurship. So that's really where I see the more that you can put those structures in place, the more that you can clearly define boundaries for yourself and your business and your personal life and your relationships, the more loving, it's like the most loving thing that you can do. The more loving, the more that you can show up. I think the more productive that you are. I even see that in my own day. I mean, when I give myself a boundary of going to bed earlier, waking up in the morning, giving myself some time before I dive into the kids, getting on that meditation mat, meditate, even if it's just for 15 minutes, like meditating, clearing my head, I am far more productive. And so I know it. And so it's like, am I willing to do it?
Definitely. So when you're working with, coaches, what are some boundaries that you see? Or how do you help them put boundaries in place? What are some of those like low-hanging fruit where you're like, this is, I see this amongst the majority of my coaches, or I see this with 50% of the coaches, where if they just implemented this boundary or did this one thing in their business, they would see major success on the back end.
Yes, this is such a good question. I think the biggest thing for coaches that have clients is when it comes to boundaries is that you cannot assume the responsibility for your client's success or happiness. There's no way that you can be responsible for someone else's success because you're not them. You can't implant yourself into their brain and make them do what is necessary in order for them to see the success and happiness that they're looking for. And so that's a huge boundary for me. I tend to express my own happiness and success in a way that if you are willing to show up and do the work and tune into that, then you can start to experience not only the benefit of growth, but the benefit of your own success and happiness. But when we become dependent on what others are doing and how others are feeling, and most of all, how others think and feel about us, it puts us in a very helpless and powerless situation. So as a coach, if you're like, I can only grow if my clients succeed, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Because your success is dependent on someone else doing something that you have no control over. And so I think that's a huge boundary of you have to show up, hold space. I'm responsible for the container. I'm responsible for my side of the street. But then they also have to come to the table with something. I think something really also with boundaries is the time of day that I work. I tend to be on the most between 10 and 3. So it's like, if you want me, that's like my on time. That's when I do my coaching calls and all of that. And then after that, I kind of let it go. You know, there was a time in my life that I would constantly overextend and try to, you know, well, I don't normally do this, but I'll do this for this client or that client. And then it just gets very hairy and very skewed very fast. And so the more of those boundaries that you can put in place, and really it starts with you, like your client is going to follow your direction. So if you're giving them an inch, they're going to take it. They don't know any different. They're just following your lead. And so I think that having structures in place of when you're available, structures in place of expectations of what to expect. And I'll be the first to say that to someone. Like, if you show up and do the work and meet me here, like your entire life can change, but I'm not responsible for your life changing.
Yeah.
If you're looking for that, like, I'm not your coach. But if you're looking to take ownership of your life and you want to meet me there, like, let's rock and roll.
Definitely. I mean, it's important to verbalize that too. I look back on the beginning of my business 10 years ago, and I was, every email said to a client, if you need my help, like text me with small questions. I'm always available. I want to be there for you. I would take calls late at night. I would meet people on Saturday mornings who had crazy work schedules. And that was the beginning of my business. And I always worried, like, if I wasn't always available, would they think that I was worthy, or would they think that I was a good health coach or nutritionist for them? If I didn't make the trek to the valley to like go through their pantry, they're not going to like it if I have to do it through FaceTime. Or it's funny, the self-limiting beliefs we all have around where we can live and what we can do, just even moving an hour south down to Orange County to be able to afford a house for my family, to be by the beach, to manifest the life that we want as a family and as a unit, to not have the fear that well, if I'm not close to Fox Studios or if I'm not close to the flats in Beverly Hills, like, and I don't get to their house, like, will they still work with me? I had to play that out. Like, okay, they aren't working. The phone stops ringing and they stop working with you. Like, does it matter that you're working with an actor, or do you just want to help people?
Right. Right. And so, and it's like, what attachment are you putting to like that client or that type of client? And so like, what's the feeling or the bigger why behind that? And it was interesting. I have masterminds now, and I'll do one-to-one coaching or group coaching or masterminds. And I had a client in a mastermind last year that she always just like wanted more. Like, it was never enough. And it's like, once she got all the answers, she had even more questions. And then she got the answers. And she would always say to me, like, I have a Voxer thread and you can access me Voxer, but I have very strict boundaries and perimeters around that. You can box me all week, but I'm only going to answer you Friday before 12, 2 minute voice text, 2 minute voice text back. If it's over that, I'll get to you the following week. And she would just say like, oh, but you know, I need more time. I need more this. I need more that. And after a year of just honoring my boundaries, she came back to me and she was like, Julie, I just want to tell you, thank you for having these boundaries, because I've never had them in my own business. And I didn't even know that it was possible. And seeing how you did that and you wouldn't lean or falter towards like what I constantly wanted from you actually gave me permission to start creating boundaries in my own business. And so I think the more that we honor ourselves, the more that we do that, the more impact that it has on other people. It's really just the mirror and the reflection of, maybe that's the one thing that she needed the most in her life, that if I just kept giving her whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted it, and however she wanted it, and enabled that, would she have ever had the dignity to figure out, oh, maybe I need to create boundaries in my own business? And so I think that's the beautiful thing of just trusting that boundaries are the best for us. And like, whatever happens after that is like, has nothing to do with me. And like, it is working in my favor and it is working for me. And this is really something that is healthy and beneficial for my life. And I can just trust that.
Well, you said it earlier in the podcast, it's having someone that you can emulate, not to copy, but to see that things are possible. And you offer that to your client. And I, even just saying your working hours, like, I'm really on from 10 to 3. I think that is so empowering for female entrepreneurs to hear, and something that in the beginning of my business, I, like I said, I'd be working around the clock. I would be seeing people on the weekends. I'd have no boundaries for my family, my husband, my personal time. I mean, kids really throw a wrench in that. And you're like, oh, you watch me build walls and boundaries real quick. But it is important for people to hear that, because that is, I used to throw client calls on my calendar, no joke, like have an Acuity link where I would be back to back clients, like 7 to 5, like no pee breaks. Someone would email me, oh, urgent, I so-and-so needs to meet with you. And I'd give up my lunch hour. Like, now it's 1 to 2 clients a day, if that, and I'm service.
Well. Doing that, you know, it's like, yeah, be well by Kelly, but Kelly's not going to be well, you know?
Exactly. Like, I always used to joke to Chris when things would get really crazy, I'm like, be well by me. And he's like, oh my God, she's sick again. And it's true. Like, you can't show up when you're exhausted. You can't show up. And there may be more of a ramp. Like, you talked about the cycles where you're working a little bit more. Okay. You're on your book tour, you're traveling, you're doing interviews. Like, it's going to look different from the days when you're just, when this part of your business is over and you're back to coaching and you're in your groove and your kids are in school. And like, you can say like, okay, these are my scheduled hours and I'm going to get in the groove here. But I love your honesty there, because I was even talking to Jenna Kutcher about this on a podcast a few weeks ago. It's just, everyone's like praising hustle culture, and it makes us all think that we need to do that. And then you don't have longevity. It's the same with like diet culture. You're either eat and do not eat list, double days at Barry's boot camp or OTF. And then, you know, like, just unsustainable stuff.
Yeah.
It's unsustainable.
Yes.
Okay. So to close out today's podcast, I do want to know what tips you have for negotiating and creating confidence around your self-worth. Cause I think it is one thing to set up boundaries and to identify, you know, have awareness so that you can accept something that maybe isn't working for you, take some action in that place. And for your client, that was to have boundaries. So she emulated you. She saw what you did. She was able to say like, wow, I don't do this. It's totally possible. How am I going to take action for that? But when it comes to self-worth, when it comes to negotiating what you're worth as a female entrepreneur, how do you coach your clients to not be in a place of bad karma, like to have a positive karmic exchange with the people they're supporting and to know their self-worth?
Yeah. So I think the first step is we're all human beings and we're going to have good days and bad days. And so it's about, again, the awareness and being in a state of awareness, which requires a lot of presence, allowing yourself to have moments if those come. But deeper behind that, if there's a worthiness piece, what I love to say to people about advocating for yourself and knowing what you want, you got to first know what you want. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't know what I want. So how can I be myself if I don't know myself? Or how can I get what I want if I don't even believe that I'm worthy for it in the first place, or I don't know what it is? And so I'll say to clients, you always know what you want because you always know what you don't want. And so I think starting there and even just like making a list, like these are the things that I no longer want. I no longer want to be living paycheck to paycheck. I no longer want to be having this fluctuating diet. I no longer want to be dealing with acne at 35 years old. I know like whatever this thing is for you and getting clear on that. And that's going to start to kind of show you, well, what could be the antithesis of those things? And then when you go into negotiating, whether you're negotiating with yourself or you're negotiating with somebody out in the world, I think the best negotiating question to ever ask is, what would it take? What would it take for me to finally not be battling acne every single day? What would it take for me to finally lose the last 5 pounds? What would it take for me to no longer be having all of these stomach issues? What would it take for me to finally like go all in on this dream business and like see if it's possible? What would it take for me to start creating boundaries? What would it take? And just that simple question of asking yourself or the other person, if you're negotiating an opportunity, is like, I want this, you want this, what would it take to make it happen? And that can really unlock so much curiosity, creativity, and collaboration. And it puts you into a state of expansion and a state of curiosity, which I think we all need to be in, a state of open-mindedness to then get closer to what it is that you want.
Love it. Julie, I'm so excited for your new book. It's such an honor to watch you coach your clients and your community and show up online. And you are testament to you can get what you want. And so I'm so excited to amplify your voice and to share this podcast online and all that you've done. Thank you for being so transparent about how it started for you and that it's possible to get out, because I think a lot of people feel, especially through the pandemic at the end, like the financial stress. A lot of people are in a financial debt. There's a lot of anxiety, depression, shame wrapped up around that. And to see that you're in a place of abundance and passing it on and paying it forward, it's a beautiful story to watch. So thank you for all that you do and for being here and lending your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So where can people follow along? Where can they snag the book?
So the book is wherever books or audiobooks are sold. There is an Audible for those who love to listen to books, and you can get that Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you love to buy books. The Influencer Podcast, I put up a new episode every Wednesday. And then juliesolomon.net is my website for all the information there on my coaching process and methods and my offers there. And then I tend to hang out the most on Instagram. So you can find me, DM me at Jules, J-U-L-S, Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate all your time.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at bewellbykelly.com and follow me on Instagram at bewellbykelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.